for many of us, getting outdoors to enjoy nature and wildlife is something we take for granted a bit. But for folks living with disabilities, there can be a lot of obstacles to having those wonderful experiences. And I'm very happy to have with me today in the studio, Anthonette Gilpatrick. She is the accessibility coordinator in the Bureau of Facilities and Lands for our Wisconsin DNR. And she's going to tell us about the many ways that our Wisconsin state parks and natural areas have been made accessible to folks with disabilities. She and I visited, oh my goodness, years ago. Anthonette, welcome, by the way. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you. I'm delighted for the opportunity.
It's great to have you here. And I think it's cool that we talked, you know, probably 15 years ago at least. It's been more than that. 20.
Yes, it was after our first accessible cabin at a state park at Mirror Lake. So it was in 1991, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. You don't look that old. You can't have been there in 91. Well, the cool part of that is that it's going to be great to get an update on all the various things that have happened, because there's more than one cabin out there now, and there's a lot of things that have been done to help make a great experience for anyone with disabilities. I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a question or comment about this. Have you noticed or taken advantage of the state parks or natural areas where that are accessible to people with disabilities? I would love to hear about those experiences. Maybe you or a loved one has a disability. You'd like to get some ideas on where to go to enjoy the outdoors. Certainly, Anthonette's going to be happy to help you with that. Maybe there's a state park and natural area you'd like to visit, but you're not sure if it's accessible. Well, Anthonette can help you with that, too. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org with a question or comment, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we would certainly love to hear from you. And let's go to some very basic stuff just to begin with, Anthonette. We're talking about I mentioned accessibility and accessible. When we say accessibility, what are we really talking about here?
Well, what we're talking about is in the outdoors, it's a little bit different than the built environment where you have building codes and things like that. And it's easier to follow a building code. And for example, you know, how do you make a parking lot entrance, bathroom, route of travel accessible because it's built? In the outdoors, it becomes a little more difficult because you have the natural environment. And so what you're going to find is in our state parks and other areas, as you have more infrastructure, you know, for example, a park facility, Wisconsin State Park, you're going to have a park entrance visitor station that you go to. Any of our new park entrance visitor stations are extremely accessible.
Yes.
And even our older ones, since 1989, the department has, that was before the 1991 ADA came into effect, the national law that said state and local governments needed to make their programs and facilities accessible to people with disabilities. And so we had started on a mission to look at even our existing facilities and say, okay, where are the barriers and what can we do to eliminate them? Yeah. So a person with a disability can come into a park, go into the park entrance station, talk to one of the park superintendents or the staff there and get information about where in the park they can visit. Where's the most accessible picnic area? You know, where's the most accessible campsite? And, you know, the Wisconsin State Park Program has done a great job.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much. We offer so much for people with disabilities now.
Yeah, it really is wonderful. Brian in Green Bay, I'm going to give you a chance to join in. Brian, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was having a hard time as a youth. So during the summer in Cherokee Marsh, I helped build a boardwalk.
Ah.
So that people could go through the marsh who might have disabilities, even capable people. And it turned out to be a great project.
You know, I really appreciate you calling, Brian, because for a couple of reasons, these boardwalks, as you rightly say, are not only useful for people with disabilities. I really don't have a disability, and I have enjoyed those boardwalks that are available in all across the state in many different areas. Are they not, Antoinette?
Yes. Thank you very much. And I liked what you had to say about the boardwalk and the universal aspect of it, because that's what we'd really like to create, is a universal approach to accessibility. Because what we find is good for people with disabilities often benefits many other people, older adults, parents with strollers, you know, someone who may have a bout with cancer, for example, and wants to get out for the day and just walk, but might not have the stability. So there's so many different people that can benefit from accessible features in any kind of area.
And I also like the fact, I like the mention or the comment about volunteering. I believe he said Brian said he had kind of volunteered to help on this. And there's been a great volunteer program across the state to help in that, to help the DNR with a lot of this.
Oh, absolutely. If it weren't for volunteers, we have, as I mentioned, when I came on the show in 1991, we had one accessible cabin for people with disabilities that volunteers created. The Telephone Pioneers of America gave the money and worked on the cabins, built the cabins from the ground up, dedicated every weekend from April to June, the day we dedicated it, and it brought their group together, and they coalesced, and they said, we want to do this again. So we continued the effort, and it was all volunteer effort. And the money that they gave the DNR, we would have not been able to afford that cabin at the time. And so we went on to do one in the southern unit of the Kettle Moraine State Forest near Eagle, Wisconsin. And they built another one at Pottawatomie State Park in Sturgeon Bay, all on the same model. And since then, Buckhorn State Park, Highcliff State Park, Kohler Andre, and Richard Bong Recreation Area now all have accessible cabins that people with disabilities can rent. And at this very moment, Harrington Beach, Friends of Wisconsin State Parks of Harrington Beach, are constructing a cabin there this summer.
Oh, wonderful.
And so we have very dedicated volunteers, and without them, we could not do this. Each of these were done with the Friends of Wisconsin State Park, you know, Friends of Harrington Beach, Friends of Highcliff, Friends of Kohler Andre, after the Telephone Pioneers started the first three. So without volunteers, we could not do the things that we're doing, or it would take a lot longer.
And, you know, and they're wheelchair accessible, of course, and there are even lots of cool things like cooking, for example. Aren't the counters lower?
Yes, lowered countertops. In fact, many people who visit the cabins take home ideas for their own home.
Yeah.
And so we have lowered countertops so people can actually wash their dishes. They can approach the stovetop. There's the bedroom. It has two hospital beds and a Hoyer lift to help transfer people easily. There's a fully accessible bathroom with a wheel-in shower and commode chair. And then there's a porch where people can spend time, you know, outdoors, as well as a raised fire circle. And then we We start there, and then we move into the park and, you know, have other opportunities in each of those parks that people with disabilities can enjoy, because we want them in the cabin, but we also want them out in the environment.
And we're going to really get into that a bit, quite a bit more, as we visit with Anthonette Gilpatrick from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And we'll be back with her right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Take a second to think about your favorite place to enjoy Wisconsin's great outdoors. But what if, because of a disability, you were no longer able to go there? Or maybe you never have gotten a chance to experience it. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Even today, even if you're able-bodied, it doesn't mean that one day, whether because of illness or injury or just age, you're going to need a little help to get around out in nature. And fortunately, the Department of Natural Resources has a wonderful program to make our state parks and natural areas as accessible as possible. And we're talking about it today with Anthonette Gilpatrick, the accessibility coordinator in the Bureau of Facilities and Lands for the Wisconsin DNR. She has so much information to share about the many ways that our Wisconsin state parks and natural areas have been made accessible to folks with disabilities. It's really a pleasure for me to have her here. Anthonette, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
And if you have a question, maybe you have a disability and wonder about how you might get involved in our state parks or particular areas of the state, or maybe have a relative or friend in that situation, I hope you'll join in. Or if you've experienced one of the cabins we were talking about earlier, or another experience that you've had in the out-of-doors at one of our state facilities, I hope you'll join in and share that experience. We'd love to hear it. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And, you know, Jennifer was listening in and commented today that she was at the Greenville, Wisconsin, at the Lions Park, Lions Club Park, and they have Braille signage on all of their trails, which I think is a really cool thing.
Right, and again, you're talking about another volunteer group that isn't a DNR facility, mm-hmm. but certainly has models that we can learn from. The Lions group concentrate on people with visual impairments and people who are blind. So having the Braille opportunity for people to read the signs and be able to participate is really important.
I want to go back to the cabins a little bit, and I'm wondering, you know, when we were first talking about this back in the 90s, we wondered, you know, what's the demand going to be like for it? Is there, what's the demand been like?
I am delighted to say that the cabins are fully reserved.
Oh, wonderful.
For the entire season from May to October. And there are some days in between, but that's one of the few complaints I hear about the cabins is we've tried and we can't get in. So the fact that the Friends of Harrington Beach are making this effort to build another cabin with support through the DNR is so important, because obviously we have a demand that we haven't met yet. And so
it's wonderful. And I'm amazed, frankly, at the affordability aspect
yes.
of this. Not only does it make an experience available to people, but at a cost that, you know, is not prohibitive.
That's affordable for people. And, you know, thankfully, one of the things that I think the DNR also does well is when we began with the Telephone Pioneers and the Cabin Project, what we knew was very important is to have people with disabilities, our customers, very involved in the process. So we had a cabin committee of people where we sat around a table and we hammered out how high should this be, won't it look kind of institutional if they're hospital beds? Should we have regular beds? And this group of people with disabilities and some caregivers were instrumental in helping us to say this is what is absolutely necessary for this to be an accessible model. And so I can't say enough about input from people with disabilities on this process in all of the cabins.
Who can reserve them? Let's do that. And how do we reserve them? We'll mention it again, and I've got it up on my Facebook page, but let's go through it. Who can reserve these cabins and how do you do it?
Anyone with a disability can send in an application. We don't use the standard reservation system for the cabins, and they need to send in their application in early January for the May through October season.
Okay.
And it's a lottery system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I tell people is you need to be thinking about this in January when it's snowing so that when May comes, you have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And they're $35 a night, so it makes it affordable for many people.
Yeah, and a $4 reservation. And how many people would be in a cabin?
There's six people that are allowed in the cabin. There's a futon that folds out in the living room area. Mm-hmm. So that sleeps two more people and the two hospital beds. And then the kids and stuff may have to sleep in sleeping bags on the floor. With
yeah.
The mat, you know?
What the heck?
What
Why
the heck?
Not? That's kind of half the fun if you're a kid anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Well, I've got so many people here to visit with you. Let's go to Wayne in Green Bay first. Wayne, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good afternoon. I want everybody to know that just out of Green Bay is a Brown County park, and it's called the Reforestation Camp. It has miles of accessible trails, but the coolest feature is it has two 1,000-foot-long zip lines, and they start from a 50-foot-tall tower, and they've just adapted one of them for disabled people.
Oh, wonderful.
And the way they do it is they pull the wheelchair up to the bottom of the tower, and they have an arm with a rope, and they put the disabled person in the zip line harness, right in the wheelchair, and then lift them straight out of the wheelchair and swing them over, clip them on the zip line, and let them go.
Oh, yeah. Man, is that great.
I am going to have to visit that. Again, that's not a DNR property, but what an opportunity. And it just...
Yeah, and if you could see the confidence that these kids had, it's touching.
Oh, I bet it is. And that's at the Brown County Park?
It's a Brown County Park called the Reforestation Camp. It's just west of Green Bay, a few miles, 3 miles maybe, off of Highway 41 north.
Reforestation Camp.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful area. In winter, it's ski trails, and I understand that the hiking trails are accessible, and it's a great place, beautiful place.
That is. Thank you so much, Wayne, for telling us about it.
You're very welcome.
I really appreciate it. And Antoinette, I bet you're going to be up there to visit.
I am going to be up there to visit. And I think what is so interesting is back in 1989, we were doing just trying to meet the minimal. And technology has changed so much.
Yeah.
So the ability to offer so much and to see what's out there, the all-terrain wheelchairs that they have a very low footprint on the environment, and people are getting out and using those for bird watching and hunting. And, you know, younger people with disabilities, they expect, they've fully been, you know, they've gone to schools, they've done everything. Yeah. You know, back in the day, when I started in 1978 in disability, we were just getting people out of nursing homes and doing curb cuts and transportation. And now the expectation is to fully be able to do something like yes. get in a harness and go on a zip line. I just find that so exciting.
It's wonderful. Let's give Bill in La Crosse a chance to join us. Bill, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm interested in the cabins, and I'm wondering about eligibility first off. I happen to be a cancer patient, but I'm mobile and so forth. What is the requirement towards eligibility?
When we built the cabins initially, what we were thinking of is someone with the highest priority is someone with a severe disability. And moving down into different categories as people have less mobility impairments. Because, of course, the cabins are designed more for wheelchair users because they're the ones who wouldn't be able to do traditional camping. Again, the more cabins we have, we can open up those opportunities and invite more people in. So the highest priority would be someone with a severe mobility disability. We also have two rustic cabins that are a 13 by 13 little log structure. One is at Blue Mountain State Park and one is at Copper Falls. And those, what those offer is the double bed, single bunk area, electricity, a table, so you can, you know, you have the electricity if you have any medical concerns, medical things that you need to have plugged in, medical devices. And then for the rest of the evening, you spend it outside around the campfire. We have an accessible grill and camp ring. And those are $20 a night. And those are more open to a variety of disabilities.
Okay.
And they have, they're near the toilet shower building that's accessible, but it's not within the structure itself.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Your application?
I'm sorry?
Where do you make the application?
At the park itself. So
at each park. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. I really appreciate that very much. And so you've got Edward and Steele. Let's go to Edward next. I think it's Edward's turn from Two Rivers. Hi, thank you for calling. Edward, are you there?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to comment that I volunteer with a group called the Fox Wisconsin Heritage Parkway, and they are in the process of building several handicapped accessible ramps for launching kayaks. So a person who has a disability, wheelchair or otherwise, can launch their kayak from this roller ramp. And, of course, they're accessible to anyone else who cares to use it as well. And they're being built on the upper and lower Fox Rivers, as well as the lower Wisconsin River, with partnering communities.
Another great service. Thank you, Ed, for telling us about it. And I said that's something you were familiar with, Antoinette?
Yes, it is something I've been familiar with. I know the Fox Heritage folks called me last year to talk about accessibility. So we also provide kayaks, adaptive kayaks, at five of our state parks for paddlers. I just showed Larry a picture of it.
Very cool.
Yeah, he liked it.
I liked it. I thought I could use something like that myself.
The kayaks have adjustable outriggers for stability, and they also have raised back with sides on it for people to transfer in and be seated in it, which provides a lot of support, for example, for someone who might be a paraplegic. And then the paddle has a hand adaption for those with limited grip. And at the five, Buckhorn, Council Grounds, Devil's Lake, Mirror Lake, Perot, And I wanted to mention on August 23rd, if anyone is interested in adaptive kayaks, Mirror Lake State Park, the Spinal Cord Injury Association group, again, we have these wonderful volunteers who are coming out to the park and will bring kayaks and will use the one that we have at the concession to take people out who maybe have never paddled before or were a prior paddler and want to get back into the sport again. And again, another opportunity to just say there are possibilities.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. And again, thank you. Really appreciate it. Let's get Steele involved from Appleton. Hi, Steele. Thank you for calling.
Hey, two weeks ago, I took a friend. We went up to High Cliff Park and took a walk by the campground. And I was leaving. I looked to the right, and I saw this mansion, it just beautiful cabin, and I saw the ramps, and I said, wow, what is that? And then I just learned from you guys that you have an accessible cabin for disabled. And there's this one website, and it's up in Green Bay. It's called Options for Independent Living. And so it's options, the word, and then IL.com, and they have pictures of all different assistive technology, and they have pictures of bathrooms, bedroom, kitchen, office, and everything. And I looked quite a few years ago before my mother had to go into a home just to, but, you know, as you said, you know, counters in the kitchen that were low, and it sounds like your cabins, maybe some of the assisted living places should learn something from your volunteers to make things accessible for the residents. But yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Steele. That was a nice comment.
That was a very nice comment. And that's the thing with an aging population, you know, people, there's more opportunities to make things accessible. And like I say, there's that universal accessibility concept that I really love for all people. But especially in our cabins, many of the caregivers also, or attendants to people with disabilities, we have a book that people can write about their experience and share. And that used to be my favorite thing to do at the end of the year is get the books from all the cabins and read the comments to see what we could do better. Mm-hmm. And also just to read, you know, the touching stories that people wrote about it's the first time their sons got to sleep together in the same room because one had a disability. Or the caregivers who said, this was such a needed break for me. Because my husband, my sibling, whatever, was able to do everything independently, and I got a vacation.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. We had Andrea wondered if there are any accessible interpretive nature hikes or walks. My fiance and I have camped at a handful of state parks in ADA sites, but we can't find any trails to hike on together. I'm not sure. There should be trails.
Yeah.
Interpretive nature trails.
Interpretive nature trails. Yes. I'm not sure what the accessibility concern is. If it's because you're using a wheelchair, you know, you need a stable, flat, level surface that you're rolling on. If you're talking about interpretive signs and having them in alternate formats, we've done a little bit of that in some of the parks, but that's one thing in being back in this job that I want to look at is how we're providing those kinds of experiences. So I'm not sure about if it's a trail issue, accessibility, mobility-wise, or if it's...
Could Andrea contact you?
Absolutely.
That'd be great. And or anyone else.
Right. My number is 608-267-7490. And I'd love to talk about this.
Okay. 608-267-7490. And what about, do you have a... Is there like at your website, or do you have an email address that people could email you?
Sure. My very long email address is Anthonette, A-N-T-H-O-N-E-T-T-E dot Gilpatrick, G-I-L-P-A-T-R-I-C-K at wisconsin.gov.
Oh, you know what? Do we have that up? Jason, have we got that up on our... We'll post that up on my Facebook page, if that's okay with you.
Yes, and there's also another opportunity on the DNRWisconsin.gov page. If you search for Open the Outdoors, you can send me an email that way as well. And if you open it up to the homepage at Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, there's a little symbol of access, which is the blue symbol at the bottom of the page with the international symbol for accessibility, the wheelchair symbol, like you see on a parking symbol.
Sure.
There's that at the bottom, and it says Open the Outdoors, and you just click on that, and it'll show you how to contact me.
Wonderful. And we got something from Nancy on Facebook who said there's a beautiful accessible trail segment at Bone Lake, the Bone Lake portion of the Ice Age Trail in Washera County, about a quarter mile trail that leads to a scenic overlook that is apparently spectacular.
Yes, we have at least portions of our trails. We have over 650 miles of trails, and at least portions of trails, you know, again, you'll have terrain issues depending upon the environment that you're in. You know, Devil's Lake, you're going to go straight up the granite cliffs.
Yeah.
But if you call the park, they can tell you which trails are accessible and how far you can go.
This has been wonderful, Anthonette. I hope that, and we didn't really even get to everything.
We didn't get to the sit skis, the cross country sit skis, or any of that. But
it's available on the website, though.
And people
can learn more.
Yes, if you go to Open the Outdoors, it has videos of people kayaking. It talks about the sit skis, the beach chairs that people can use. A lot of opportunities.
And we'll have you back in a lot sooner than the last time. There won't be such a long time in between visits, that's for sure. Thanks so much, Anthonette. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much, Larry.
Anthonette Gilpatrick of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, where she is accessibility coordinator in the Bureau of Facilities and Lands. She does a wonderful job and is doing some great work. And I thank her, and I thank you for listening, and I hope you'll stay tuned here on the Ideas Network.